Esther 5 and verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom." We're reading about a very particular time, a very dangerous and a trying time in the land of the Medo-Persian Empire for the time of God's people, the Jewish people. The event that we're looking at in this message is an event that took place in troublesome times. Ahasuerus, if you were to look up the secular name Xerxes, which is the name of the Medo-Persian emperor during this time, he had inherited a kingdom that had suffered a terrible defeat under the previous king, Darius. Darius had conducted a military campaign against the Greeks and suffered a terrible defeat. Well, after King Darius' death, Ahasuerus, he attempts to encourage the Persian Empire, and we see in chapter 1 by throwing lavish parties and feasts to try to encourage the leadership. Throughout his reign, Ahasuerus had various assassination attempts, one of them that we read about in the book, but also other ones. He was not a very popular king because of what he inherited and also because of his wicked an adulterous lifestyle that he had lived. And then Shushan the palace was designed to where the king and his leaders had very little, if any, access to the people of the Medo-Persian Empire, kind of what some of our leaders are trying to do today. And we see that like his predecessor, who I believe was his father, that he had led another military campaign against the Greeks, and he suffered a defeat as well and wound up being assassinated. So it is during a time of political calamity, and also because of the cost of the wars and the taxation that Ahasuerus had levied upon all of the land, that there were economic hardships and moral hardships. And then, of course, we have God's people that are living and going through all of these times. It is in these times that we read about, and we can identify with some of that today, that God raises up a Jewish orphan that is to become the queen. And this queen would be used to bring deliverance to the people of God, not only in Shushan, the palace, and in the Persian province and the Babylonian province, but also the edict that went out that the Jewish people were to be slain would have also affected those in Jerusalem and in the Promised Land who were part of the vast Medo-Persian Empire. That we see that this orphan was raised up to be the queen in a wicked time, and God used and worked in a marvelous way to use this woman of God to bring preservation to God's people and a time of prosperity to them. Now, we look here that in Esther chapter 4, if you go back in Esther chapter 1, we see the troublesome times that exist and that there's a queen that has been deposed. But then in chapter 2, there's a new queen that has been chosen, Queen Esther, and she was chosen because not only of her beauty, but also of the inner beauty of godliness and righteousness and character that shines through any exterior beauty or lack thereof that exists. You know, there's some people that are beautiful on the outside, but as Phyllis Diller said, they're ugly to the bone. And then there are those maybe that may not win a beauty contest or maybe will not be picked out as the most handsome person, but yet because of their righteousness and godliness, they radiate a beauty from within that makes them beautiful from without. Well, Esther has been chosen as queen. In Esther chapter 3, there's a sentence of death, wicked Haman. And his descendants are in governors in various states and mayors in various cities around our country today. And so, you know, you've always got the Hamans that are the enemy of God's people. And he had come up to Ahasuerus and said, give me some money and I will go out and I'm going to take care of these people that are standing against you. He was upset because Mordecai, the cousin of Queen Esther, who had taken care of Esther in her youth, refused to bow to the wicked Haman, because God's people only bow to one. Amen? And so he refused to bow. Haman got upset about this, was going to kill Mordecai, but instead of doing that, I'll just take care of all of his people. Well, when the edict had gone out that the Jewish people were to be exterminated and their goods to be taken, there's a courageous decision. Mordecai, he is fasting and praying. He appeals to Esther and said, Esther, you need to go into the king and you need to make a plea to the king on our behalf. Well, Esther, and there's some that think she's trying to coward out. I don't believe so. I believe that she's talking to Mordecai, and they're doing this through messengers. And the queen is telling Mordecai, I haven't been called to be with the king for 30 days. I don't know if there's a problem that I have fallen out of favor, but if I go into the inner court, there's a law. If you go into the inner court who is not called by the king, that he'll be put to death, except to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. I haven't been called to come to the king for 30 days. And so Esther's telling Mordecai, she's saying, look, if I do this, here's what's on the line. Mordecai lets her know that this is a time that she needs to go in, that if she doesn't go in, that God will bring a deliverance to the Jewish people from another realm, but your family and us, we're going to perish. And God has raised you up for such a time as this. Let me tell you, church, God, we can look at things and say, well, I don't know, things are difficult. God's raised us up for a time like this. Amen? And so what we need to do is to stand for the Lord and to live for God and let God sort it out. Esther said that I'll go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. In other words, Esther said, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what I need to do. Mordecai, you have your servants fast and pray for 3 days. I and my maidens have fast and pray for 3 days. And then after that, then I'm going to go in and to talk to the king. Here we read, there's a bold entrance that we read about, that Esther, she put on her royal apparel. Esther came based on her relationship with the king. She went in because of the marriage relationship that she had, and then she presented herself with honor. She came in, she didn't come in and faded out blue jeans and a tank top and flip-flops, amen? She came in, she put on her royal apparel and put on her best, and she came in presentable to the king. Esther sought the king's favor, and that's what she was desiring. You and I'm afraid sometimes that we desire the blessings of God without seeking the favor of God. And our desire, first and foremost, when we come before the Lord, is that we come based on a relationship that we've been blood bought. We have been saved by the grace of God. We are a child of God. He's my Father. I'm His child. And when I come before Him, I'm to come because I am a member of the body of Christ. I have a royal apparel. I have the fine linen of the righteousness of the saints of God. And when I come before the throne of grace, I come in the royal apparel that God has given me. And then I seek the king's favor, to seek the favor of God and His blessing and His fellowship in my life. And that's what we're to do when we come before the Lord. Esther comes in, and we see that when the king sees Esther standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. The king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand, and Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then the king said unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It'll be given thee even to the half of the kingdom. Esther, she says, King, this is what I desire, that I'm going to have a feast, and I want you and Haman to come to that feast. Now, we look at this golden scepter that Esther said, the only way that I'll find grace is if this golden scepter is extended out to me. We see that when she comes unannounced and comes without being bidden by the king, that she obtains favor and grace in his eyes. He extends a golden scepter. She touches it as a symbol of her acceptance of the favor of the king. And then later on in this narrative, that after the Lord is moving and working, that she comes before him once again, and he extends a golden scepter once again, and she obtains mercy and grace in the sight of the king and receives her petition. Now, I want to preach about a scepter that is greater than the golden scepter that King Ahasuerus had. I want to preach about the scepter of grace, the scepter of the grace of God that the Lord Jesus Christ has extended to you and I in these days. The scepter of grace supersedes the curse of the law. We see that Esther in chapter 4 and verse 11, she said that the law required that when somebody comes unannounced and uncalled for before the king, that they're to be put to death, except to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter. As the law was against Esther in this time, you and I, the law was against you and I. We're condemned by the law. The law reveals that we're sinners by nature and sinners by choice, and that the law condemns us to an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. But thank God, where the law spoke against us and testified against us, that the law of grace has opened up the throne, that Jesus Christ went to the cross and he suffered and bled and died and rose again the third day, and he paid for the sins of mankind. And for those that are not saved, that will come to the Lord, the law condemns you. But if you come on God's terms in repentance and faith and call on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll extend the scepter of grace, and you can touch it by faith and be saved by the grace of God. Can I have a witness right there? The scepter of grace supersedes the curse of the law. The law forbids us to come to God, but grace is provided. The law has never been a means of grace. Abraham was saved before the law by grace. The law reveals that we're sinners. The law condemns us. But where the law forbids us to come to God, the law of grace opens up the throne, and the choice is made by the subject. Thank God, God made a choice before the foundation of the world that he was going to give his son to die on an old rugged cross. I'm thankful that the son made a choice to go to the cross and to suffer and to bleed and to die. I'm glad that the Spirit made a choice to convict men of sin and righteousness and judgment. I'm glad God made a choice that he provided the scepter of grace to sinful mankind. And then there is a choice that is made by the sovereign, and then the choice that is made by the subject. See, Esther, as long as she didn't go, she would have never experienced grace. You and I, hey, until a person comes and receives Christ, the pardon is there, the forgiveness is there, the price has been paid, but you must come and receive Christ as your Savior. And then for the child of God, the throne of grace is open for us, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But we must come. We must approach that throne. We must come to the prayer closet. We must come to the prayer meeting. We must come before God. And he extends that mercy, that scepter of grace, and we touch that grace, and we touch that scepter, and come boldly to the throne of God. The scepter of grace supersedes the curse of the law. The scepter of grace clothes us in royalty. Esther was just a poor orphan. That's all she was. But she was chosen among many others. And of all of the ones that were in this contest, that Esther was chosen to be queen, the queen. The king loved Esther above the women. She obtained grace and favor in his sight, so that he set the royal crown upon her and made her queen. Here's an orphan that has been chosen by the king and has been set up to be the new queen. You and I that were orphans from the promises of God, aliens from the relationship with God. But now we see that the scepter of grace, when we have touched it, it has been extended, and now instead of having our old rags of sin, we are clothed in His righteousness. What did God do for Esther? What did God do for you when He saved you? He brought you from rags to riches. Now you may not have more, you might not have any more money today than you had before you got saved, but I'm going to tell you what you have a full bank account of. It is the grace of God. I'm going to tell you what else your bank account is full of the riches of God, of the power of God, of the fullness of the Spirit of God. I mean, of His grace have we all received, amen, and we've received all of His presence in our hearts and lives, and we have His power and His glory. From an orphan to the house of the King. Strangers from the promises of the covenant of God. And now I'm an heir with God and a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody smile and say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you look like you're living in Illinois today. Amen. Hey, you're living in the great state of South Carolina. Hallelujah. We've obtained from an orphan to the house of the King. Esther had no position and now had one of the highest positions in the land. You and I were double zeros, nobodies. God saved us by the grace of God, and now we're a member of the family of God. You realize that we have a better parentage and a better royalty than the president and any king or any potentate that has ever lived. We are a member of the house of God, of the family of God, and when the dust is settled and the smoke is cleared and the last shot is fired, we're going to be the family that's going to remain, and we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You won't have to put up with some of these people we're having to put up with right now. Yeah, somebody, I think Lester Roloff, when they jailed him for not receiving a license for the girls' homes he had in Corpus Christi, Texas. They tried to misquote Romans chapter 13 like a lot of people do today. And they said, you know, you're to be subject to the higher powers. And Lester Roloff said, I'm not having any problem with the higher powers. It's the lower powers I'm having problem with. Amen. And I tell you what, praise the Lord. And by the way, I just want to say this. If you don't know your Bible, don't sit there and try to tell people that study the Bible what it means. Amen. Amen. I just had to get that off of my chest. Amen. And I did that more for the radio because I mean, you hear people doing stuff all the time. The scepter of grace changes the favor of the king toward us. See, it was that scepter of grace. The king would have been rightful to have her executed. But he didn't do that. She found grace in the eyes of the king. You and I, she found grace in the eyes of the king at the beginning. And that grace never ran out. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you obtained grace in His sight, and that grace never runs out. Let me tell you this. You have just as much grace in the eyes of the Lord today as the day you got saved. That grace never runs out. It never runs short. You know, banks are closed, all of them closed on Sunday, and there are quite a few of them closed on Saturday. But the bank of the grace of God is never closed. It is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hallelujah. And it will never close. We've obtained grace in His sight. Esther obtained favor in His presence. You and I not only have the grace of God in His sight, but we have His favor. That He looks upon us, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, His ears are open to our prayer. You and I are blessed and highly favored. Amen. Amen. Grace extended to us to touch. You know, unlike the king that we read about, who has surrounded himself with people that keep him separated from the outside world. In fact, nobody could come before the king with a sad countenance. He only wanted good news. And you know, it's bad when a wicked king knows better than to listen to CNN and NBC and ABC and all that other crowd, and we don't, amen? I mean, you say, well, the news is depressing. It bothers me. Turn it off, hallelujah. Get in the Word of God. Get in the good news. Amen. That'll help you out a whole lot better. I was talking to somebody on the phone yesterday, and they were telling me, he said, I just don't listen to it. I let somebody else take it. My husband tells me what's going on because I can't handle it. If you can't handle it, don't do it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The scepter of grace extended to us to touch. Ahasuerus had his palace built so that nobody could have access to him. We've got leaders doing the same thing, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords doesn't have that around his palace. When you go before God in prayer, and you go to your prayer closet, or you have prayer as a family, or we pray together as a church, though we do not go anywhere geographically, but spiritually, we are escorted to the very throne of God, and there every one of us have access to Him. Now, you just can't go in and have access to the president anytime. You can't just go up to the White House, knock on the door, and say, I want to come in and see President Trump. You can't do that. You can't do that to the governor of South Carolina. But I'll tell you who you can do that with. That's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knows no limitation. The scepter of grace supersedes the curse of the law. The scepter of grace clothes us in royalty. The scepter of grace changes the favor of the king toward us. The scepter of grace changes us. You know, the change is not only where we have favor in the sight of God, but God does a change in us. Esther, we see in chapter 5 and verse 2, she goes in fear. She goes out in faith. She goes in doubt. She leaves in assurance. She goes in trouble, and she goes out with the peace of God. That's what the grace of God will do for you and I. That's what it'll do for a sinner. You don't have to fear going to hell because you accept the Lord by faith and you're going to heaven. You don't have to sit there and wonder whether you're going to make it into heaven or not. You don't have the doubt. You have assurance that you're saved and that you're going to make it. You've gone from a life of trouble, of sin and doubt and concern and shame, and now you have peace with God and you have the peace of God. Folks, this is just plumb good. Amen? This is wonderful. Hallelujah. The scepter of grace is a means of our supply. As God was able to save you, and that's the hardest thing God would ever do for you, save you. Now He can freely give us all things. We see that Esther came to the king not one time, but five times. And Esther chapter 5 and verse 1, we see the petition of brokenness. She comes in fasting and prayer. There comes a time in our Christian walk that we come in brokenness. We get out in the world, sin and shame, and we wander away from the Lord. And there are times that we have to come back in brokenness. Lord, I've sinned. I've come short of the glory of God. I've been playing around. I've been trying to hold on to the world and to God. I've been trying to do this and that and the other. And Lord, I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I'm not going this way anymore. I come with a broken heart, and I want to have my fellowship restored. See, Esther had a period of time where the fellowship was broken. You and I have times where our fellowship is broken. And God desires for that to be restored. The petition of brokenness, that she comes and she's accepted. And Esther chapter 5, verses 4 and 8, that the king said, what is your request? He says, I want you to come to a feast I'm going to make for you and Haman. Now you see, you wonder, why did she go ahead and make her request then? Because she wanted to find favor of the king first. See, sometimes we come in with our Santa Claus list to the Lord, and what we need to do is to have favor. See, you have the favor of the king, and then business picks up. So we see that her second request, that she has a feast, that we have the petition of brokenness, and then we have the petition of feasting. See, because she has favor in the sight of the king, she's refreshed. And then they have this feast, and this would be, mostly it would be water, and it would be various types of fruits and vegetables. So then they come in, and then the king and Haman come in, and he says, Esther, what do you want me to do? And she says, what I want you to do is I want you to come back tomorrow, and I'm going to have another feast. Now, we would look at that and think, well, she's, this is like a woman. She can't make up her mind what she wants to do. Now, that might be true or not, but I'm going to tell you what. She'd been fasting for 3 days and three nights. She didn't earn favor of the king, and she realized, you know what, I think I need to have another feast. So they wait another day. So we see we go from the petition of feasting, come refreshed from a banquet, to the petition of faith in Esther chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Now, as the night goes by, Esther, no doubt, she's resting comfortably. But the king cannot sleep. And so what does he do? He pulls out some of the chronicles, some of the history of his reign. You say he's doing that to try to learn. No, if there's something that'll put you to sleep more than anything else, is reading the history book. Amen. He's trying to go to sleep. And he comes across the deed of Mordecai, that had told about the plot to assassinate the king. And he reads about that. He says, well, what's been done for this man? He said, well, nothing's been done for him. So we see here that he calls in Haman, and Haman has to honor the man he wants to hang. And Haman begins to fall. So during this time that Esther waited on the petition, God is working behind the scenes to make it to where the request will be accepted. The petition of faith, now that she's refreshed, now that she has the favor of the king, she says she pleads for her life. My petition is I want my life spared, and my request is my people be set free, because we've been sold to be murdered and executed, and it's this wicked Haman that had done that. Haman went from being in favor as a wicked person to swinging from the gallows the next day. It's a dangerous thing when people go against God's people. I read the story about Stalin, the wicked leader of the Soviet Union, and he had persecuted the Jews similar to what Hitler had done. And I was reading this in Harold Wilmington's Guide to the Bible, that he had designed that basically he was going to finish exterminating the Jews in the Soviet Union because they had praised Israel for being born as a nation. And so he had devised a plan. He announced it to the Kremlin. And for several days before his plan was carried out, he had a stroke and he died. Dangerous thing to go against God's people. God does govern in the rules in the affairs of men. Esther makes a plea of faith because she knows that the king will hear. She rests in the king's favor. Positionally, she's the queen. Personally, she's his wife. Legally, because now he's extended the scepter of gold. The petition of favor in Esther chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. She brings her burden after Haman has been executed, and she comes. Now, this time, the first time, she's coming in fasting. She's afraid to come before the king, but now she goes in the inner chamber, knowing she has favor, and she comes in and weeps and cries, which you're not supposed to do before the king, and says, please deliver my people. She is going in with a petition of favor, not for herself only, but for her people. God, you know, Esther's growing in the relationship with the king. And God desires for you and I to grow in our relationship in prayer to where we come with a broken heart, burden for God's people, and burden for sinners to see them trust the Lord. The petition of favor. We see the petition of fullness in Esther chapter 9. The battle's been won, but she's praying for complete victory. The scepter of grace is a means of our supply. Now, let me close out here with a few things here. Ahasuerus, and I do not have time to go into just how wicked a man this king was. But I want to mention this. If this wicked king can do good to his queen, how much more? How much more? I'm going to say that again. How much more can our king do good for his bride? Praise God. Y'all throw your hand up right now and say, hallelujah. Amen. If Ahasuerus, the wicked king that he is, can honor a righteous queen and fulfill her request, how much more shall your king, when you come before him, hear and answer your prayer? Amen. In fact, you don't have to go in and wait to see whether the golden scepter of grace is extended to you. His eyes are already open to you. His ears are already open to your prayer. Hey, before you go in, He's got the grace, the scepter of grace extended. He says to come. He says talk to Him. He says to cast all your care on Him, for He careth for you. He says all ye that are laden, He said come unto Me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Hey, He extends the mercy. He extends the scepter. Amen. I'm gonna call a race car when I get up. The scepter of grace to the sinner to get saved. He extends the scepter of grace to the child of God that we can come clean with Him. Amen. If sinful fathers can give good things, how much more shall our Heavenly Father supply our need? God knows our need. I'm amazed at what God's done these past 2 months. Amazed how God has provided. If sinful man can do good, how much more shall our God give us the power of the Holy Ghost so we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil? The scepter of grace is extended to you and I today. Unlike a wicked king, we have one who knew no sin, did no sin. We have one who is in absolute authority and has all grace, all power, all wisdom, all provision that He can provide for you. Amen. We have a good Heavenly Father that will supply all our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We have a Savior that says, I will give you a Comforter that He'll abide with you forever. Let us touch the scepter of grace. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The scepter of grace is extended to you for you to be saved. You can be a religious sinner. You can be a rotten sinner. Doesn't matter. You'll come to Him. Trust Him, receive Him, and God will save you. Let me mention this to you as well today. You're here today as a child of God. You've drifted from Him. You've wandered from Him. And you need to get right with God. I want to encourage you this morning. Why don't you do business with the Lord today? You might be a prodigal. That you've wandered far, far, far away from the Lord. Today would be a good day for you to come home. And I encourage you, the throne of grace is available. The scepter of grace is extended. To those of my brethren maybe that are discouraged, that are going through trials, whatever those trials may be, that scepter of grace is extended to you. He may not